question, which creates another answer, which creates another question, and it just keeps multiplying and building until finally it just shuts the system down. And I thought that was interesting. I can see how it would happen, and I can see where it would be a flat disaster if it occurred in some computer systems in this country.
Thank you.
I'd like to jump back to the global question I was asking you, because looking at the bill, I'm pretty comfortable with the first part of computer crime, because if you knowingly, this is beginning at line 27 of page 1, if you knowingly access, attempt to access, or use, or attempt to use any computer and so forth, for the purpose of devising or executing any scheme or artifice to defraud, hey, let's hit them with a hammer, obtaining money, property, or services by means of false or fraudulent pretenses, representations, or promises, the hammer again, let's do it, committing theft, the hammer again. Also, subsection 3 on page 2, if you knowingly and without authorization, you're altering, damaging, or destroying computer data, hey, the hammer again. It's subsection 4 that I wonder about. Knowingly and without authorization uses, accesses, or attempts to access any computer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, commits computer crime. And then we say that all of these are a Class C felony. It seems to me that when you're getting back to the burglary situation, up to that point we're okay because there's some intent to commit some kind of illegal act or certainly nasty act that we ought to make illegal. Number 4, if I'm a college student, and I knowingly and without authorization walk over to another student's computer and play with it, I've just committed a Class C felony. Do I misread this?
I can't answer the question as to whether or not you're misreading it.
Number 4, it seems to be setting out a separate one. I'm real nervous about that because, you know, I may just want to see how the program works.
It could be such a thing, Representative Mannix, that there should be an additional classification built here for to separate out the instances that you're describing and keep them as a misdemeanor. However, subsection 4 is the language that talks about hacking when there's no monetary gain derived therefrom. And that is exactly what we're concerned about. That's the case of the person inserting the virus into the system. That's the case of the person manipulating our credit information.
No, 3, I think, is the virus, because that person is knowingly and without authorization altering, damaging, or destroying the computer and so forth. I'm comfortable saying that's a Class C felony. 4 is the person who knowingly and without authorization uses, accesses, or attempts to access. It doesn't talk about changing, damaging, it just says using. Now, granted, in a way, using is theft.
Representative Mannix, you could literally have her stand down, go back to the operating system, somebody walk over there and type directory, hit return, you've accessed the system. Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly what you're talking about. No, Representative Flory, you're...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my concern is differentiating simply accessing from fooling around with, taking from, and so forth, just out of concern that otherwise we've been a bit overbroad here with the hammer on number 4.
The legal minds in our industry
all
have told me,
lawyers, of course,
and I believe the legal minds in our industry, and I believe you, Representative Mannix, but they have told me that subsection 4 is the subsection that deals with computer hacking as we are concerned with it. Now, it may also deal with the college prankster as well. I am not going to deny that. But at the same time, it does deal with the person who is hacking our database or the state of Oregon's database or anybody else's database. And that is what gives us cause for concern. Simple theft of service of $500 being a felony at this point is, I say once again, is not nearly as severe as manipulating our database.
Couldn't we say,
Representative Mannix, you might even look at the definition of computer, and really the definition of computer could include a calculator.
Couldn't we add a phrase here, with intent to commit any illegal act? Then I'd feel a lot more comfortable with 4. Any illegal act, it doesn't even say it has to be a crime, it has to be an illegal act. You could just put that phrase in line 7, before commits computer crime with intent to commit any illegal act. Then you've got to show some intent to have done something other than just, gee, I want to check the directory over here.
Well, one of the problems that has been pointed out to me, and I can't cite you a specific example of it occurring, but our security people evidently have dealt with it, is the person who does get into the database does not do anything to manipulate it, but extracts information, for example, non-published numbers once again, and then does not sell that information, but gives it away for favors. They specifically cited giving it away in exchange for drugs.
What if we, may
that,
I? Yeah,
I'll
go on.
What if we accepted or exempted from coverage the simple act of walking up to someone else's computer equipment and making use of it? See, hacking to me always connoted you had to use some, you know, surreptitious means of getting into the computer. I walk over to that terminal in front of everybody, and under this act, of course, I'm, I guess, an employee of the state, so I have authorization. You walk over to that computer and do something on it, and you've just violated this law. But you're not doing it surreptitiously. You're not doing it by telephone modem or whatever. That's my one concern.
Well, I represent one time.
Formerly honorable.
Great honorable representative. I think it's a good bill. I was thinking of the point. Because as I read it, I see not only the thing of you punching in directory in somebody else's computer, but as I look at how broad computer is, computer means that it's not limited to any electronic device that's performing logical, arithmetic, or memory functions by the manipulation of electronic or magnetic impulses. That could be hitting a button on someone's digital watch.
Couldn't we say it shall be presumed that anybody who accesses a computer system surreptitiously has an intent to commit an illegal act? Then you've got a presumption there, and you've got your illegal act. They've done it surreptitiously. They can overcome that presumption by showing it was totally innocent.
I think there's a legitimate bill, and these are legitimate concerns. And part of the problem is that computer goes all the way from your digital watch, which is a computer, all the way up to your mega-billion-dollar mainframes. And that's not all systems, but I think it's a good bill, and it's a legitimate concern. I think what he talks about really needs to be addressed.
May I run that language by you and see what you think about it? It shall be, first of all, you'd say, with intent to commit any illegal act, commits computer crime. Then another sentence, it says, it shall be presumed for purposes of this subsection 4 only, so they don't try to put it in somewhere else, that any surreptitious, people can look it up in the dictionary, accessing of computer equipment is with an intent to commit an illegal act. A rebuttable presumption. Shall be a rebuttable presumption.
I thought we learned earlier that the presumptions were frowned on.
Oh, but that's only from the common law. If you put it into the code, then we're okay. We just can't grandfather in the common law as rebuttable presumption.
Well, I'm sort of going to work on this a little bit here.
I'd be happy to help in any way I can, Mr. Chairman. And so would our security people, and so would our legal folks. So we're at your service.
Kind of computer wrestling here is the word. Computer game.
Generally, I think it's a good bill.
It's a good bill. I think, you know, you've got to, you know, and I mean, the idea of somebody putting in a virus into a mainframe could be, So I'll be very, very frank. I don't want anyone messing around with my little PC down in my office.
Yeah, that's,
you know, I understand. I mean, you really want to get down to it and start to play around with my database, you know. Yeah. That's, not like yours. Little day.
Maybe.
Any further questions, Mr. Wilhelm? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Why don't we close the hearing on 2518 and go back to the top here.
Everything you're messing with is
we're improving.
No, you are.
That's a lousy section. And someday some prosecutor on somebody just for the hell of it.
Why is it okay to use somebody's computer, but it's not okay to use your card?
You got to use right now under that section, you got a calculator sitting here and you step away and I want to add something.
No. Don't steal my calculator. Any more than you don't steal my car, or you don't steal anything else that I want.
No, it was
is it okay? I don't understand.
Oh, okay.
So normally, there's certain assumptions.
You guys want to fight that battle, let me know.
I don't make any assumptions. Tom doesn't make any assumptions.
All right.
I sure don't make any assumptions.
Okay, why don't we go into work session on 24-30. What's the committee's desire in this bill? Is there a desire on the part of the committee to pursue this bill? This is the...
I desire to pursue the bill.
Good, good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the committee...
I better.
The chief sponsor desires
yeah,
to
I better.
Pursue it. Out on some of your others.
Pursue this bill. Proposed amendments. First of all, there was the proposed amendment that on line 23, we had, and I don't have specific language here, but basically he wanted us, Mr. McIntyre, why don't you come up and sit in on this? And you can even bring your sidekick, Mr. Bradley, if you want. He's kind of
a historian.
He doesn't want to come?
De facto part of the committee now. He's shy.
What's wrong with him?
He was assigned to the Senate last time.
He was.
It's maybe your only chance. Well, I better be still.
Okay, there was a suggestion that we add Schedule 1 and 2 on line 23.
Well, that we add, I'm sorry, Mr.
McIntyre, go ahead.
At line 23, you add manufacture and delivery of a controlled
That's
substance
correct.
In Schedules 1 or 2.
Is it as defined or as found in Schedules 1 and 2?
It would, as found in Schedules 1 or 2.
Now, we've used the term Schedule 1 or 2. Is that properly defined somewhere else? I mean, we all know what it means, but...
It is properly defined within the relevant statutes under ORS 475, and I believe it's 991 or 990, the enabling statutes of the Uniform Controlled Substances Act.
Well, if we need to reference that specifically, we'll give council editorial discretion to do that. And I believe there's probably some other language to track with that somewhere, and makes reference to Schedule 1 and 2 and some other statutes.
I think the Board of Pharmacy keep a record, too?
Well, that's not
we don't want to miss
of all the...
I do believe they schedule different drugs.
Okay. At least did last time we looked.
Whether they exist or not right now, we're not sure.
They're listed in there specifically.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Representative Brian. Sorry,
Mr. Chairman. They're listed in there quite specifically in that length.
Okay. What's the committee's reaction to that proposed amendment? The proposed amendment, and the chair will move it, would be that the language we read something to the effect on line 23 of manufacture or delivery of a controlled substance as found in Schedules 1 and 2, and then the appropriate reference if needed to schedule, that's to a reference to Schedule 1 or 2. Now, is the committee comfortable with that? Again, as the witness said at a prior time, this would include LSD, cocaine, crack, methamphetamine, heroin, and would include the manufacturing growing of marijuana.
Yes, it would.
Good. And I also assume I sound like some type of cornucopia here, PCB, angel dust.
It would also include, as we have, the statutes are now in place, it would include... the substances you've just mentioned, Mr. Chairman, are in Schedule 1. This would also, by bringing in Schedule 2, you would be bringing in line precursor substances to the manufacture of methamphetamine, and you would also be bringing into line the substances that are analogs and other derivatives.
Is Ritalin in there, too?
Ritalin would be in Schedule 2.
Okay. Representative Manning.
I have a little problem with just saying Schedules 1 and 2 without tying in 475992 and 475995, because 475992 is the statute which specifically allows legal activity in drugs. And if you just say Schedules 1 and 2, I can just see somebody arguing someday that legal activity in manufacture or delivery of drugs combined with some other innocent illegal activity, which you'd have to find not relating to it but somehow combined to it, ends up getting into this category. Somebody who is legally manufacturing drugs, but say in the course of that legal manufacture, does something illegal about how they do it. They skip a step, or I'm just thinking out loud here since this is work session. No, I don't know. It seems to me that you've got to have a homicide connection anyway.
There would be a homicide. First of all, we're assuming that there's going to be a death occurring.
Right.
And also within, as I understood the chair, we would be, the language to be modified would be Schedules 1 and 2 as defined. We would want it to cover where Schedules 1 and 2 are defined and then include the following language also dealing with the ORS 475992.
Or and as proscribed by, and something like that.
Yes, that's. I think that's where I was trying to go to.
Okay, if we can grandfather all that in, that would do the trick.
We could perhaps, that's Mr. Bradley had a good point, we could...
We might want to use the word unlawful.
Preface it with
there
unlawful.
Although unlawful is, but unlawful is contained within the statutes 475.
I still like or as prescribed, and as prescribed by. So you've got to have had the illegal manufacture or the illegal delivery. And you also are eliminating the Schedules 1 and 2. Then you're stuck. Then they're stuck.
Correct.
Yes, Representative Minnis.
I have a question with reference to... I had a physician, someone with scriptwriting authority, killed someone with scriptwriting authority. That you could prove homicide, in other words, they intended to kill the person. By the amendments that you're, and you could prove intent, would you be precluding yourself from prosecuting someone with those kind of privileges under the amendments that you're talking about?
Well, you'd have intentional murder anyway.
Isn't there a poison provision too?
Well, we would go to the most specific criminal statute to pursue the prosecution anyway, which would be the intentional murder statute under that scenario. This wouldn't be drafted to exclude the prosecution under those circumstances.
If you left in the assault one, if the doctor just really wanted to hurt the patient, I mean, you know, maybe send the patient into a coma, that would also be covered then by the other provision in the statute.
I think so.
I just provide some loophole for
no holes in the net.
No holes in the net.
I don't know. I'm thinking out loud.
Further discussion of the amendment, somewhat conceptual amendment, I think. Any objection to the amendment? Now, you had other concerns. There was something we should discuss is line 24, whether or not the assault in first degree is defined, or as 163-185 will be included. I have no personal objection to that inclusion, but the record, I think we should discuss it. Anybody, are you comfortable with that? It's in, so it takes no amendment to bring it in.
I'm surprised it was ever excluded, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so it stays in. What was your third point, Mr. McIntyre?
Mr. Chair, if I could back up for a second, there was one scenario on the assault one that I did not talk about, which I think should be addressed if the committee wants to.
Go ahead, please.
It gets involved in these discussions later on. You know, the instances where there are two individuals who jointly decide to go out and commit a felonious assault, and one person acts as the principal, the other person acts as the accomplice, and where they are intending to cause serious physical injury. A stabbing or a shooting, whatever, or running over somebody with a car, for that matter. They will, under current Oregon law, they would have a defense to intentional murder and would only be convicted again of manslaughter in the first degree, and that's another reason to keep that assault in the first degree as a felony murder offense in there, because the accomplice could come in and say, maybe the principal meant to kill the guy, I only intended to help him try to assault him, so it was only reckless conduct on my part.
So you're arguing in favor of the present language?
Yes.
Leave it in. Okay.
Yeah.
Representative Courtney.
Have we resolved the concern maybe about defendant?
You got the crib sheet there?
I
haven't got that part yet.
You want to take it up now?
Well, I'm trying to clarify. I'm trying to come to closure on line 24, then we'll move on.
Okay, go ahead.
Are we all right in line 24? Okay, now, Representative Courtney.
What is this? There's concern that maybe the defendant is too narrow. It only applies to the ultimate supplier as set out in lines 26, 7, and 9.
Yes, Representative Courtney. That was... it was my recommendation to the committee that we remove or delete the word defendant and insert the word distributor, because the word defendant is a legal term of art, and there could pose some confusion. And actually, I can foresee at least some proof problems as far as establishing a person as a defendant versus a distributor. When we're trying, well, as I understood the intent of the bill, we are trying to go as far up the chain of distribution or manufacturing as we can. Representative Clark brought out during the hearing, do we want to include manufacturing as well? That is, if a person manufactures and distributes, can we go all the way back up to the manufacturer in this type of a situation? So while we were talking about deleting defendant.
Your point, Matt.
May I be allowed to add?
Let me, Representative Courtney, let me.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want your opinion on how far back you want to reach in terms of a we can pass it out, but is it going to be workable from a prosecutor standpoint?
It would be workable from a it's like every other case. It's workable from a prosecutor standpoint if I have the evidence and the witnesses to go forward with it. And if I could, were able to define the evidence and the witnesses who would support my proceeding against the first level dealer and the second level dealer and the third level dealer until we're all the way up to the chain, it would be workable.
All right. Then, as I understand it, the term distributor is defined as a person who delivers. Is that correct?
I believe a distributor would be a person, be a more proper definition is a person who distributes, and we would go to the...
Well, I understand my reference is it's defined in 475.005 subsection 12 as a person who delivers. Is that incorrect? I don't have the statutes in front of me. Do you know if that's correct?
That sounds correct to me, although I don't have the statutes in front of me.
Right. Let's say that's correct.
Distributor means a person who delivers. It's in the statute.
Okay.
Do we have a definition of distributor?
Can I ask the next?
Go ahead.
We just decided we did, Mr. Chair. I want to ask now the question. Given that definition is in the statute, does that definition, can that reach manufacturer?
No.
And I don't, how do you reach manufacturer with that definition, which already exists in the statute, even since we seem to be, you're recommending we go to the term distributor?
And how do we reach manufacturer?
Yeah, you're going to have to add something else, or a distributor does it with its present definition.
I don't believe the distributor would do it with its present definition.
When you say distributor or manufacturer?
Or manufacturer.
Pause here for a second. Just pause for a second. Representative Mannix, you got it in front of you, and he has it in front of you. Why don't you read it? Deliver or delivery means the actual, constructed, or attempted transfer, other than by administering or dispensing, which are legal, from one person to another of a controlled substance, whether or not there is an agency relationship. Dispenser means a practitioner who dispenses. Distributor means a person who delivers. So if you say distributor here, you mean a person who delivers. If you mean a person who delivers, you mean actual, constructed, or attempted transfer from one person to another of a controlled substance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, does that mean you're moving down up the chain? I'm not so sure.
We want to go up the chain. So
yeah, Representative
Courtney
has raised a very legitimate concern about that.
We are going to go up the chain in that there are different levels of deliverers within the system. There are ultimately, and one example is that, and unfortunately, it's a sad example. I know, certainly in Multnomah County, we literally have a closed system in some areas. In the area of methamphetamine, we have a closed system. We have local methamphetamine manufacturers who distribute their product to a very select few of local methamphetamine dealers who then cut it and produce it out about two or three times. In that situation, if we included manufacturer in this and they were to sell to someone who ultimately died, we could go completely up that chain all the way into the manufacturer, and I think that's what we should do.
May I make a comment, Representative Courtney? I'm a little disturbed in the language here. We're having definitions now, ORS 475.05 sub 8, where it says delivery means the actual constructive or attempted transfer by other than administering or dispensing one person by one person to the other. I'm just disturbed by that actual. Constructive or attempted, it seems to be relatively narrow.
I think I can help you with that, Mr. Chair. That has a broad definition. About 3 years ago in Multnomah County, we started prosecuting cases based upon an attempted transfer theory. And the attempted transfer theory was founded upon the belief that we could establish certain circumstantial evidence to prove that someone was about to transfer the controlled substances. That issue has gone before the Court of Appeals, and it has already been affirmed. So actual is merely one part of the statute. Actual, constructive, or attempted is now a very broad reading, and if we can prove circumstantially that the defendant is set up to deal, then that's enough for the delivery.
Representative Mannix.
I think the real answer, and actually Representative Mannix just whispered the answer to me. I mean, I'm taking credit for his point, but the real answer is your sub B. We've been talking about sub A without paying attention to sub B, which is a limiting special definition for that paragraph only. If we use distributor, we could say, as used in this paragraph, delivery to the decedent by the distributor includes the actual or constructive transfer by the distributor in violation, and then of the drug statutes, at any point in the supply process. So by definition, we have expanded distributor for this paragraph only. And that would answer, I think, Representative Courtney's concern. If we use distributor all the way through there, we've bumped it up. But we're making it clear that we're not using the overall definition of delivery or distributor.
President Courtney.
There is a definition for manufacturer.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
475.
If you throw in the word manufacturer.
There you go.
14.
You then are going to let the definition of manufacturer stand as support by manufacturer, correct?
Correct. That would be where the courts would have to look for the statutory analysis.
Because at first I was concerned that you were saying distributor / manufacturer. Find distributor, but you haven't defined manufacturer. But you're saying that's sufficient definition in statutes to pick up that term, too.
Yes, sir. And if the committee is a concern about that, we could add language, I believe, at the end of paragraph B that could pull manufacturing as defined in, or add another paragraph, manufacturer is defined as, or is defined from, or else.
Well, Representative Mannix.
I'm sorry, I raised my hand.
Manufacturing is defined in the same reference that Representative Mannix was quoting from. It's just further down the right column of the first page.
If we want to include manufacturers, we could just use the word manufacturer. We don't have to redefine it. We could say it results from the introduction of a controlled substance by any means into the body of the decedent when the controlled substance is manufactured or delivered to the decedent by the distributor.
Correct.
Let's put it right there.
That would work real well.
And then in the next paragraph, we'll define delivered.
Or would you want to say manufactured, delivered, or distributed?
No, because if you say manufactured or delivered to the decedent, then section that sub B fits in, and you don't have to horse around with that.
And then in B, may I go on with
it? Yes, certainly may.
In B, there's a technical change. Delivery is not the word we used in the prior paragraph. As used in this paragraph, and it says delivery, well, we just said delivered, not delivery. You could take the quote and put it in front of two. As used in this paragraph, delivery, quote, to the decedent by the distributor, unquote. Or we could say I want to make it clear we're talking about delivered. And someone's going to argue in some criminal trial somewhere that there's a difference between delivered and delivered. I just see it happening. I want to avoid it right now.
Can you just use the word delivered?
Delivered to the decedent by the distributor.
Right.
There you go. Instead of delivery.
Right, just say
includes the actual or constructive transfer by the distributor, and we're defining then and at any point in the supply process. We've just expanded distribution to pump it all the way up the system.
That was the intent too.
This obviously needs to be worked on a little bit. Unless you've got a specific.
Except for that conceptual amendment, for this, I've got specific language I'd like to offer. Is this work session time? Or?
Yes, it is. Why don't you,
I move
for the record, give us the specific language.
I move that we amend line 26 so that it reads, I'll read the whole line, as changed. Body of the decedent, comma, when the controlled substance is manufactured or delivered to the decedent by the distributor, when that runs on to line 27. Also, that we change line 29 to change the word delivery to read delivered, and to change the word defendant to read distributor. That we modify, that we amend line 30 to change defendant to distributor. And then on page 2, that line 1, defendant, be changed to distributor.
Okay. That's relatively clear.
Objection to the amendment.
Representative Miller, you all right, too?
Fine.
Okay. We had some other concerns here, I believe, on the one of the sheets. I don't think there's any, let me see here, one more.
I don't think there's anything else. Mr. McIntyre, Mr. Pratt, is anything else?
I believe so, sir.
Again, editorial leeway for staff to clean this up if she finds it necessary. Motions on the bill.
Move it.
Representative Courtney moves House Bill 2430. The full committee do pass recommendation. As amended, discussion, Representative Bryan.
Mr. Chairman, just the question, the on line 23, the reference to Schedule 1 and Schedule 2 links that into ORS 475, et cetera. Schedule 1, Schedule 2 are federal DEA.
That's correct.
Definitions.
But not DEA.
It's
not DEA. What is it?
The schedule, where are the drugs? Yeah, they're Food and Drug Administration.
Yeah, they're not. They're Food and Drug
Administration. Right. And I'm wondering if, I just want to make sure, I did not see it, but I'm, of course, not legally trained, but did not see the reference to those in these